followers of Jesus from the Gospel of John. This is set during the fearful time after the crucifixion, in which the disciples felt lost and alone, but somehow came to experience a spiritual power that brought them back to life and dispelled their fear. John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Receive the meditations of our hearts. Receive the actions of our lives that are shaped by your very Spirit. Amen. I'm sure that from the church's very beginning, after that first Pentecost day, they immediately thought, "Bubbles. That's it. Bubbles." Maybe not. But welcome to the Feast of Pentecost, the celebration of Pentecost. This is a week early. Everyone else in the entire Christian world is celebrating Pentecost next week. But I'm not going to be here next week. And so I said, but I want to. And the worship planning team said, well then, okay, we will. So this week is Pentecost. Next week is
Pentecost,
the sequel. Okay? This is the day that marks that incredible outpouring of the Spirit on an infant church and on a circle of very fearful disciples. It celebrates, well, the traditional words are the quickening of the Spirit. Anybody ever had any experience with the Book of Common Prayer? Well, that's the word that is often used, quickening. It's enlivening, the empowering of the community of faith. It's shift from, we just might survive this, to, we're alive. And that is a big shift for any community. But for many of us, this whole Pentecost thing and talk of holy wind and fire, it's more bewildering than enlightening sometimes. If we are to claim to be Pentecostal Christians, anybody? First of all, you would never likely do that as United Church people, because oftentimes we don't know what to do with Pentecostal feelings, the kind of wild stuff of Christianity. And if I was to claim to be a Pentecostal Christian, well, first of all, you probably wouldn't have called me here in the first place. But secondly, you would be no wiser about my brand of the Christian faith. What does it mean to be that? Spirit talk is by nature ethereal. After all, it's the Spirit, right? Frederick Buchner says the word Spirit denotes something, quote, pale and shapeless like an unmade bed. And we staid United Church folk get a little wriggly when somebody starts talking about the Pentecostal Spirit. But if the language of Spirit is a little unsettling and odd to us, then we'd better get over it. Because frankly, these days, there is a huge hunger for clear and well-grounded Spirit talk and spiritual faith. If the church wants to engage this hunger in newcomers or in searchers, or frankly, in any of us, Spirit talk is one place where we can connect with those who are searching, those who are longing. In our culture right now, it's huge. And often, it's accompanied by a huge and sometimes very justified suspicion of organized religion. So you end up with religion being cold, but spirituality being hot these days. The buzz phrase is spiritual but not religious, right? I'm sure you've heard it. Unfortunately, the word spiritual can be used to mean almost anything. But the phrase speaks, the spiritual religious, speaks of a yearning in many of us for experiences of spirit, experiences of a kind of waking up in life and waking up that part of ourselves that we would somehow name as spirit and engaging in this crazy journey of life in a new and kind of revitalized way. That's, I think, the yearning that is pointed to when people use the words, I'm spiritual, but not religious. Now, often, professed Christians have claimed an experience of spirit And when they do, often, it comes across as kind of mob emotionalism, like the TV evangelist version of spirit. And it feels, frankly, kind of manipulative to me. And that's a danger. If that's the spirit, I'm not really interested. And I think probably neither are those who would claim the phrase spiritual but not religious. And yet at the very same time, someone who says, I felt the spirit, I felt the presence of the spirit, somebody else would say, I don't think so. Remember back in 1988, some of you who were around in the church in 1988, at the general council meeting, in which the statement was passed that all members of the United Church are welcome to full participation in the United Church of Canada, including ministry, regardless of their sexual orientation. That was the big issue at the meeting. And I was at that meeting, and I remember folks coming away from that meeting saying, I just felt the Spirit of God move at this meeting and moved us to a new place. And there were others that left that meeting and said, that was the worst meeting ever. And I don't want to be in this church anymore. Same meeting, very different experience of spirit. So, how are you to tell? How are you to know? It's a powerful and difficult question. It's the very question that got John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, which Methodist Church is one of our parent churches back in 1925. Well, Wesley, the founder, got himself into a load of trouble with his church at the time, the Anglican Church. He was accused, I love this, he was accused of enthusiasm. I would have been drummed out of the church so quickly. What they meant was emotionalism. Right? Which ran counter to rationalism. Right? And they were trying to steer the church away from this unruly, uncontainable thing going on in communities. Wesley called it the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I mean, the English word, Spirit, comes from spirare, which means to breathe. And the biblical word, the Hebrew word, is ruach, which means breath or wind. It even sounds like it, right? Ruach. A spirited horse is strong and wild and exhilarating and dangerous. A free spirit is a person who is confined by convention, right? Yeah. Or any of the shoulds that many of us live by. And when we discover something and the scales that are over our eyes fall off, we say, ah, we've been inspired. Inspired. The Spirit is in us as we discover something. If your energy and drive is low, you're feeling down, you're feeling dispirited. Like you're just kind of going through the motions of life, but feeling that vulnerability to risk is just too much to face. So you live small. If a room has no ventilation, no breeze, it's a room which is stagnant. Nobody wants to be there until somebody opens the window. The air stirs. The Spirit moves. That's exactly what is pointed to in the book of Acts, which happened to this little ragtag group of dispirited followers of Jesus after he was gone. A circle of friends of Jesus, devastated by their loss, living in fear, behind closed doors, and then something energized, invigorated, empowered, and they describe it as the breath of God, filling them. And that's what God's Spirit is all about. Living life with energy and vigor and power. And that can be a little scary, unnerving. But it's what life is for. Life is too short to live it any other way. Which is, I think, exactly what folks who claim spiritual benevolence are aiming at. Something that doesn't confine my life, but sets it free. Life that is fed by an unconfined, undefinable energy that makes it all worth it. Well, actually, I think that's what most of us are longing for. And it's what the story of Pentecost is all about. Now, having said that, I do believe that there are a couple of indicators that will help us distinguish between what is the deep and powerful energy wind of God and what is a kind of a hollow emotionalism that can carry us off track, feel like a gust of emotion, but it's only a gust. Couple of indicators that can help us discern the Spirit. First of all, what is invigorated, what is given power at Pentecost, is not an individual. It's a community. A community of believers, the body of Christ, not the body of Will, not the body of Brenda, not the body of Dan. As wild and uncontrolled as he so often is. A man of the Spirit, I know. I've heard his prayers enough times to know it. It's the collective that gets inspired, not the individual. And I believe that the enlivening of God's Spirit takes place in the spaces between us. Like it's something that we feel moving among us. Once again, John Wesley says, the Bible knows nothing of solitary Christians. The gifts of the Spirit are given to us, not to me. And I'm suspicious of gifts that end up feeling private or solitary and not having a shared component. It's you and me, Jesus. No, it's not. It's me as a part of us.
Amen.
And you as a part of the circle. At Pentecost, the Spirit causes speech in many languages, but it drew people together such that all understood in their own native tongue. The Spirit was that bridge that brought people together, that brought people that were otherwise separate from each other, brought them together into one collective body, even though they had many differences. Been really interested to see how, and this business of the Spirit bringing people together, essentially drawing us together. Been interested to see how the political stuff down south is playing out these days. I saw I wanted to get it up on the screen for you, but I saw a picture, a meme of a family of moose sitting on the lawn with the little meese in a little swimming pool, And then out on the street, across the street, there was a car in flames. And it was Canadians watching the American political situation. And it felt like, yeah, exactly. We're just kind of moose watching this thing go up. It's been interesting. And one of the interesting things about what's going on is that there's a lot of religion thrown around in things. A lot of spirit talk thrown around. It can be quite entertaining and sometimes a little bit scary. Every candidate, if you want to be the president of the United States, has to claim to be Christian somehow, otherwise you won't win in the States. It's amazing. However, what they mean by their faith varies wildly. But I don't think you can say with credibility that the same Spirit of God which drew people together beyond language, beyond any barriers, different places, different backgrounds, different faiths, different languages, that same Spirit which allowed them to come together as one is now calling for walls and propagating suspicion and hate. I think that there's something decidedly non-spiritual going on when that happens. That's not the spirit we celebrate today. We celebrate a spirit that draws us together, that creates a one, not a many. That's a key indicator what we're talking about when we talk about spirit. Another indicator that I look for is that the inspiration of the body always drives us out into the community. In John's gospel version of the story of Pentecost, Jesus said to the disciples, "As God has sent me, so I send you." Amen. The breath of God may blow us inward for a time, in the same way that the Spirit drove Jesus into the desert for a time, to sort things through. That actually is a part of it. But eventually, and inevitably, the breath of God tends to blow us up into life. That's an indicator. If it only ever blows us inward, there's something else going on. And one final indicator that I look for an authentic sense, an authentic experience of the Spirit, has to do with Jesus' words when he blew on his disciples. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained." I'm hoping that's emphasis. The gift of the Spirit opens wide the door of forgiveness, of healing, of reconciliation. And if ever there is a need for the spiritual power in this world, it is for forgiveness and reconciliation. The breath of God, the Spirit, it softens the heart and opens the mind. And I question the authenticity of a preacher who, gripped by the Spirit, would drive a wedge into a community, a hardness into life. The preacher in the Academy Award winning film, Inherit the Wind, zealous to drive out the evil of Darwinism in the Scopes Monkey Trials, lays claim on the Spirit and destroys his relationship with his daughter. There's something else going on there. The Spirit is all about reconciliation, forgiveness, healing. So, friends, as we open to the holy wind and the fire of the Spirit, we discover a greater richness in communion. We find ourselves driven out with renewed confidence, commitment, and joy. And we notice within ourselves a subtle opening of the mind and a gentle softening of the heart. Go Pentecostal in these ways. Amen. Thank you.